go right then. Friday, 5 p.m. The end of yet another long week. But it is happy hour, and I presume you're on your way home. Congratulations. Time for American Hit Radio here on 90.3 WHPC. I'm Tom Ryan. If you've tuned in before, you must know this by now. I'm kind of regular around these parts at around this time. So is my wife, Heidi Morales. She's here as well, behind the board. And with our How Music Changed series, we've been covering Cole Porter as of late. So,
what show is this?
This is show number 5, Heidi.
I'm taking notes.
We've done this for 4 weeks now. We're moving through the Cole Porter songbook in a non-chronological order. We decided to do this in an alphabetical order. It mixes things up a little bit. Since he's a songwriter, it seems like it's applicable. And it's working pretty nicely and pretty fine. Today's show, I can tell you without a doubt, there's no denying that many of the songs in this show are among some of Cole Porter's lesser-known works, which is nice because it gives us a chance to wade a little bit deeper into his catalog, but it also doesn't prevent us from covering what is probably the single most popular rendition of a Cole Porter song by anyone ever. There's a lot to hear, so stay tuned and let's get this ball rolling. We are up to the letter I, the word I, actually, and there's a good number of songs that begin with I or variations of it, I'm, I've, etc. So that's where we are. And the first song is a song simply called I Love You. Now, considering how Cole Porter is so famous for being so incredibly clever and witticisms galore are littered throughout his lyrics, the fact that he has a song called I Love You seems a little bit
fairly too obvious.
Yeah, a little bit like pedestrian, right? Like,
so he's going to have some secret tricks.
I just wonder what it was about. It turned out that he had a friend who made a bet that he couldn't write a song that was just simply about love with a lyric like, it's spring again and birds on the wing again, and call it I Love You. Cole Porter took him up on the challenge. Turns out that it ended up being one of the most popular songs in his stage musical, Mexican Hayride. Bing Crosby recorded a version of it in February of 1944, and it was number one for 5 weeks. Here's Bing Crosby's version of that tune.
I love you. The April breeze, I love you, echo the hills, I love you, the golden dawn agrees, as once more she sees daffodils, it's spring again, and birds on the wing again start to sing again the old melody. I love you, that's the song of songs, and it all belongs. And birds on the wing again start to sing again the old melody. I love you, that's the song of songs, and it all belongs to you. Samantha and my love will never die. Remember Samantha, I'm a together, Samantha, we could ride a star and ride it high. Remember, Samantha, I'm a one. If some distant day you decided to say, get along, go away, goodbye, remember Samantha, I'm a one gal.
Two songs there with similar titles.
I didn't want to cut titles. Off Louis for a second.
Yes, if you were wondering, yes, that was Louis Armstrong playing trumpet. And yes, Bing Crosby did sing lead on both of those tracks. I Love You, the first track, a big hit for Bing in the, I think it was 1944, I said. And I Love You, Samantha, a song taken from the 1956 film High Society. All right, then. I said that some of the songs were going to be a bit obscure in today's show. Well, here's two more that I think would fit into that category for a very distinct reason. Now, there was a theatrical producer by the name of Ben Bagley, and he had deliberately gone about, he started a series of recordings dedicated to neglected songs from the catalogs of popular songwriters. The very first one that he released was dedicated to Rodgers and Hart, and it was reasonably successful. So then he decided to do a second, and he called it Cole Porter Revisited, and had some luck with that. Now, Porter was really happy with the success that Bagley had by helping to rejuvenate some of his lesser known works, flattered by the fact that he would also, you know, dedicate an entire album just to his music. So he then decided that he would allow this producer to create his own off-Broadway review consisting almost completely of Cole Porter's more obscure songs. The show was entitled The Decline and Fall of the Entire World as Seen Through the Eyes of Cole Porter. Now, it was off-Broadway, but it was pretty successful. It ran for over 250 performances. So it did well. And one of the performers who was involved in it was none other than Kay Ballard. I don't know. I remember Kay Ballard from a TV show when I was a kid called Mothers-in-Law. This really, like, just rowdy sort of a comedy with everybody yelling and falling over each other. It was like a real slapstick sort of a sitcom comedy. It was very funny in its time, Mothers-in-Law. But Kay Bowen, obviously, she had a very big voice, good singer, good comedy instincts and everything else. So she was involved in the show, and here she is then singing what is actually a melancholy ballad of Cole Porter's called I Loved Him, But He Didn't Love Me.
The gods who nurse this universe think little of mortal cares. They sit in crowds on exclusive clouds and laugh at our love affairs. I might have had a real romance if they'd given me the chance. I loved him, but he didn't love me. I wanted him, but he didn't want me. Then the gods had now he loves me, but I don't love him. I've told this tale with its weary wail to several devoted wives. They said, you're young, you've simply sung the story of our lives. So maybe there are couples here who have had the same career. You loved him, but he didn't love you. And the gods saw you too and indulged in another whim. Now he loves you, but you don't love him.
Back in the days when Greece was mighty, men used to worship Aphrodite. When the Phoenicians threw a party, the driest host drank a toast to Astarte. The big Egyptian sacrifices were made to please the goddess Isis. And one of my most ancient vices is my worship of you. I don't love you, dear. I swear it's true. My point of view. Why should I be ought if I worship you?
two songs that I think it's safe to bet that you had never heard before.
But I liked it.
Obscure, but both very good songs. Kay Ballard up first with I Loved Him, But He Didn't Love Me. And that last track was sung by David Allen. He was a big band singer at one point in his career. I believe with the Boyd Rayburn Orchestra, but nothing that was obviously that huge. The song itself was written for a show, a 1929 show called 50 Million Frenchmen, which the show happened, but the song was edited out of the show before it opened on Broadway, thus sending it on the path to obscurity. It did get a second chance, a second close call in 1931. A show called Stardust was written that was going to contain that song, but the show was never produced. So it sort of sat in limbo for a very long time. So that was the whole point. And David Allen actually sang that for Ben Bagley on that album called Cole Porter Revisited, the album dedicated to some of his obscure recordings. Now, before we move on, I have yet another album, tribute album, to Cole Porter, Bobby Short's double album called Bobby Short Loves Cole Porter. And as a double album, Bobby Short himself decided to focus mostly on most of Porter's less familiar tunes from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And he came up with his version of this song called I'm in Love Again.
Why am I just as happy as a child? Why am I like a racehorse running wild? Why am I in a state of ecstasy? The reason is 'cause something's happened to me. I'm in love again, and the spring is coming. I'm in love again, hear my heartstrings humming. I'm in love again, and the tune I'm humming is the huddle up, cuddle up blues. I'm in love again, and I can't rise above it. I'm in love again, and I love, love, love it. I'm in love again, and I'm darn glad of it. Good news. Da 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 da. And I can't rise above it. I'm in love again, and I love, love, love it. I'm in love again, and I'm darn glad of it. Good news.
Wow. That was a really cool interpretation.
Yeah.
Very fun. Starts off kind of like with like a little bouncy thing there, and then it gets pretty emotional. Nice, Bobby. Bobby Short's version of I'm in Love Again. All right. So we've played an awful lot of obscure songs up until now, and I did mention that we were going to hit on some very popular songs. So I'm going to start with a version of this very popular song that you probably do not know. It dates back to 1936, Porter's first complete film score that he had ever done was in that year. It was for a film called Born to Dance, and it starred Eleanor Powell. And in the song, The song was actually introduced by a femme fatale, Virginia Bruce, who I don't know anything about. It was this, obviously, this incredibly emotional song as part of the set. Now, it was recorded by Bruce and Eleanor Langford. Who was the other person? Frances Langford. But the most the most popular version of the song back then in 1936 was when it was handed over to the British vocalist Al Boley. With the orchestra that he used all the time, which was, Ray Noble and his orchestra. So they took the song, they added a little bit of Latin beats to it, basically with emphasizing, the conga drum and bass and that sort of thing. And Boley, in his very English style, sounds a little bit maybe like a British Fred Astaire, perhaps. And here he is then recording this Cole Porter song as it was basically a brand new composition in this time. It happens to be called I've Got You Under My Skin.
Under my skin, I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart, you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist? Darling, I know so well. I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin.
All right, we could call this, a game of decades now, because the year was 1936 when Al Boley recorded that version, when the song was contemporary and newly written. 10 years later, a young Frank Sinatra recorded a version on his weekly radio show in a medley with another song called Easy to Love. And I guess it stuck in his mind. 10 years later from that, when he was no longer with Columbia Records, but when he started his association with Capitol Records, Sinatra teamed up with Nelson Riddle to record the song again, to record the song properly for the first time in 1956. Nelson Riddle, who was a big fan of Maurice Ravel, always attributed his arrangement of this song to his love for the Bolero, with its use of dynamics. He said that this is kind of what inspired him. He wanted to drop the Latin thing. He just wanted to be a nice, easy swinging thing for Sinatra. And you hear how the two of them, Riddle and Sinatra, were able to take this song and basically make something absolute without changing really much. The melody and everything else is exactly the same. But this version is so stunning in its execution. I would say that this is almost certainly the single most popular rendition of a Cole Porter song ever recorded by anyone, ever, and deservedly so. Frank Sinatra's stunning version of I've Got You Under My Skin.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats, repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time that I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Why not use your mentality? Step up, wake up to reality. Time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Yes, I've got you under my skin.
Perfect. It's the only word. It's an absolutely perfect recording there. From the album Songs for Swingin' Lovers, Frank Sinatra's version of I've Got You Under My Skin. 90.3 WHPC is the station, the time, 534, and the show is American Hit Radio with myself, Tom Ryan, and Heidi Morales-Ryan are here every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. trying to play music that will pique your curiosity and hopefully turn you onto a few new things at the same time while trying to give you as much information to help make the songs interesting when you're hearing them, if we can. That's the type. That's
the we, that's you.
Well, that's what really keeps me doing this, I think. Basically, the fun that there is in learning. And this next song is a good example of that. It was a song that was written in 1937. It was meant to be, well, it was, in the MGM film Rosalie and sung by Nelson Eddy, although it almost wasn't. We talked about this in a few other shows, how Cole Porter writes these songs where the refrain, in other words, the length of his, basically how to get from one part of the thought until it's completed and come back around again, most of the average writer would maybe get it done in, say, 16 bars, you know, maybe 32, depending on how you counted it. And that'd be pretty long. A blues song gets it done in 12, just to put things in perspective. This song took 72 measures before it resolved. And Nelson Eddy was complaining. He said, "This is ridiculous. You got to get me something else to sing. This doesn't make any sense." And Porter was offended. So Porter went to the head of MGM, none other than Louis B. Mayer.
Whoa.
Himself, to basically plead his case to keep the song. And according to Porter, allegedly, when he played the song for Louis B. Mayer, Louis B. Mayer started to cry.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing. So they decided, obviously, he said, "No, this song is much too beautiful and moving. It's absolutely staying in the film." And Mayer was the man who was going to make that decision. There was nobody else you could talk to, Mayer being the M in MGM. That's that. This version of the song is recorded by Eileen Farrell, recorded in 1961. The arrangement, I don't say unfortunately, because I'm a bit of a sucker for his stuff. It's by Percy Faith. He's like the king of emotionally manipulative froth. The type of stuff that's usually so overwrought that a lot of people just like roll their eyes. A good example, and it's a song that I totally love, that instrumental hit from my early 60s, Theme from a Summer Place.
Oh, yeah.
That was Percy Faith.
That got you.
So here it is, around that exact same time as he did that, doing the arrangement for this song by Eileen Farrell called In the Still of the Night.
Still of the night, as I gaze from my window at the moon in its flight, my thoughts all stray. The still of the night, while the world is in slumber, all the times without number, darling, when I say to you. So like the moon growing dim on the rim of the hill in the
Yeah, I know what people say about Percy Faith, but I thought that was really...
It's a little too sappy?
I thought it was keen, man. No, I don't know. I'm kind of a sucker for his stuff, and I don't know why. As a rock and roller, it's sort of like the absolute antithesis of what my taste is normally like, but I actually seem to like Percy Faith's work. All right. Another obscure one. This is actually from a theatrical score. The show was called Silk Stockings. It was the very last theatrical score that Cole Porter wrote for the theater. It was in 1954. It was a sort of a mock-up of an old Greta Garbo film called Ninotchka. In this instance, it was basically about, you know, the communist girl ends up coming to Paris on a state mission with, you know, for political reasons, and she ends up falling in love with basically freedom and democracy and capitalism, really, all the things you can get for your money. There was a woman named Hildegard Neff, actually, who played the Soviet character. And here she is with none other than Don Ameche performing a song where basically she's singing from the perspective of the Russian who's now looking at this and trying to justify what's going on. And this song is entitled, "It's a Chemical Reaction, That's All."
When the electromagnetic of the he-male meets the electromagnetic of the female, if right away she should say, "This is the male," it's a chemical reaction, that's all. And though your fascist may answer with hisses, the same applies when you're misters and misses. Hey, diddle diddle with middle class kisses. It's a chemical reaction, that's all. Say in love with you I fall, and in love with me you also fall. Though the uninstructed faction calls it mutual attraction, it's a chemical reaction, that's all. As in the case of invertebrates Cambrian, as in the case of fishes Devonian, as in the case of amphibians Permian, as in the case of reptiles Triassic or Jurassic, merely read in the book by Kamichev, which has now become a classic. When the electromagnetic of the he-male meets the electromagnetic of the female, if right away she should say, "Come and be male," it's a chemical reaction, that's all. You do not believe Kamichev?
No, ma'am.
Then what is your theory?
My theory is that there is no theory.
You are attracted to me.
That's right.
There obviously must be scientific reasons.
There are reasons, but they have nothing to do with Consolidated Edison. I love the looks of you, the lure of you. I'd love to make a tour of you. The eyes, the arms, the mouth of you. East, west, north, and the south of you. I'd love to gain complete control of you and handle you. on the heart and soul of you. So love at least a small percent of me do. For I love all of you.
Kamichev once observed the behavior of 40 turtles over a period of 3 months. And Kamichev has proven his theory.
After watching your appeal from every angle, there's a big romantic deal I've got to wangle. For I've fallen for a certain luscious lass, and it's not a passing fancy or a fancy pass. I love the looks of you, the lure of you. I'd love to make quite sure of you. The eyes, the arms, the mouth of you. The east, west, north, and the south of you. I'd love to gain complete control of you and handle even the heart and soul of you. So love at least a small percent of me do. I love all of you.
A nice theatrical version there.
I think the lore of that song is greater than what really happened.
Well, it was a segue. It started off, of course, with Hildegard singing the really incredibly clever lyrics of "It's a Chemical Reaction, That's All."
Yes.
Very clever song. Obviously, with the subject matter being what it is, it wasn't destined to be hugely popular, but certainly clever. And then Don Ameche responding to her scientific rationalizations with his version as the song segues into "All of You." All right, then. Got yet another one lined up for you. This one is titled "It's All Right With Me." It was written for a 1953 musical called Can Can, but reappeared in the film High Society when that came out. And this version, however, was recorded in 1956 by none other than Peggy Lee. And I'd say that you could put this one very, very high on the list of Peggy Lee's great recordings. This one, I would say, fits the bill quite nicely. It's called, again, "It's All Right With Me."
It's the wrong time and the wrong place. Though your face is charming, it's the wrong face. It's not his face, but such a charming face that it's all right with me. It's the wrong song in the wrong style. Though your smile is lovely, it's the wrong smile. It's not his smile, but such a lovely smile that it's all right with me. You can't know how happy I am that we met. I'm strangely attracted to you. There's someone I'm trying so hard to forget. Don't you want to forget someone too? It's the wrong game with the wrong chips. Though your lips are tempting, they're the wrong lips. They're not his lips, but such tempting lips that if some night you're free, dear, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right with me. Though your lips are tempting, they're the wrong lips. They're not his lips, but
such tempting lips that if some night you're free, dear, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right with me. All right, all right, all right with me.
Nice, Peggy Lee, with her version of It's All Right With Me. All right, we're swinging today. Like I said, the songs may be obscure, but they certainly are not like showing any sort of lack of quality. It's nice to go a little bit deep. And it is fairly obvious that I'm going to be able to finish up all of the I songs today, of which there were many. There were quite a few. I think there's very few other letters in the alphabet that have quite as many songs as the letter I in Cole Porter. So we'll be able to pick up from there. All right, then. Next track up will be, I'm looking, oh yes, okay, thank you. Next track is from
a... I distracted you.
No, but I appreciate it. There was a show called Nymph Errant that goes all the way back to 1933. But much later in 1955, the song was recorded by the Benny Goodman Sextet with none other than Rosemary Clooney. Yes, George Clooney's aunt, on lead vocal. This is another one of those songs that swing from minor to major, or should I say, as in like the lyrics of Every Time We Say Goodbye, which goes from major to minor. This one does that sort of in reverse, going from minor to major. It's called It's Bad For Me.
Certain my friends would be glad for me, but it's bad for me.
It's so good for you, so new for you, to see someone in such a stew for you. And when I say I'd do all I could for you, it's so good for you.
It's bad for me. I fell till you whispered to me, completely left on the shelf. But since you started to move me, I'm just crazy about myself.
It's a boon for you, a break for you, to hear that my heart's on the make for you. Yet no matter however appealing, I still have a feeling it's bad for me.
I fell till you whispered to me, completely left on the shelf. But since you started to woo me, I'm just crazy about myself.
It's a boon for you, a break for you, to hear that my heart's on the make for you.
Yet no matter however appealing, I still have the feeling it's bad for me.
All right, you get one guess about who the male voice was there singing with Rosemary Clooney.
Was it Bing?
No, definitely not.
Dean?
Somebody who doesn't... That's why he doesn't really sound like a singer.
Oh, I don't know.
Because I think the only time I've ever heard his voice was when he would announce one of the songs that his orchestra was about to do.
Oh.
I never heard Benny Goodman sing.
Wow. Me either.
There he is.
There you go.
Duetting with Rosemary Clooney on It's Bad for Me. We've got time for one more. And like I said, it is our very last I song, so we get to come back next week with the letter J. Woo! It's like Sesame Street.
Brought to you by the letter.
All right. I remember a while back we played a track by Mabel Mercer. I think the track we played then was called Experiment. Mercer is a singer who Porter discovered in Paris, singing in the nightclub that was managed and run by the Bricktop, the famous French entrepreneur, chanteuse, who basically was responsible for making French nightlife seem so incredibly glamorous. Mabel Mercer was one of the performers there that Cole Porter fell in love with. And this song ended up being something that he had written for the Red Hot and Blue score that he had done around 1936, the musical he had done in 1936. He says that the song came about because he was actually in Java with his friends Monty Woolley and Moss Hart, and they were served some sort of exotic fruit that they'd never had before, some sort of mango. They called it mangosteen or something.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't know what that is, but Hart had it and said, "Oh, this is delightful." And then,
I think it's also known as some kind of apple.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Well, it was first Hart who said, "Oh, this is delightful." And then Cole Porter said, "Yeah, it's delicious." And then it was Woolley who said, "It's lovely." Cole Porter, that just made him laugh and it stuck in his head. And he goes, "I've got a song for that." Here's Mabel Mercer singing that song. And it's, like I said, our last song for the day. Take care, everybody. See you next week. Enjoy the weekend.
Night is long, the skies are clear. If you want to go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's still lovely. I understand the reason why you're sentimental, 'cause so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's still lovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low, "Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. When I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's the limit, it's the looks, it's the lovely." Time marches on and soon it's plain, you've won my heart and I've lost my brain. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's the lovely. Life seems so sweet that we decide it's in the bag to get unified. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. See that crowd in the church, see that proud parson plopped on his perch. Get the sweet beat of that organ pealing our doom. Here goes the groom. How they cheer, how they smile as we go galloping down the aisle. It's divine, dear, it's divine, dear, it's the wunderbar, it's the victory, it's the wallop, it's the winner, it's the vikes, it's the lovely. The knot is tied and so we take a few hours off to eat wedding cake. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's the lovely. It feels fine to be a bride. How's the groom? Why, he's slightly fried. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. To the pop of champagne, off we hop in our plush little plane, till a bright light through the darkness cozily calls Niagara Falls. All's well, my love, our day's complete. What a beautiful bridal suite. It's dreamy, it's drowsy, it's reverie, it's rhapsody, it's regal, it's royal, it's Ritz, it's lovely. We settle down as man and wife to solve the riddle called married life. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. We are on the crest, we have no cares. We're just a couple of honey bears. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's still lovely. All's as right as can be, till one night at my window I see an absurd bird with a bundle hung on his nose. Get baby clothes. Those eyes of yours are filled with joy when nurse appears and cries, "It's a boy." He's appalling. He's appealing. He's a pollywog. He's a paragon. He's a Popeye. He's a panic. He's a pip.